Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Hesitates to believe in the all-knowing being. We can see history of this great country made a lot of mistakes along the way.
God's peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum. And that peace obligates us to keep the peace. And I would say also to support the peace. Welcome to Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we have a guest that I'm very excited about having. He's been a guest of ours before. It is Patrick Lumumba, Mississippi Black Liberation Movement, and the Elmer Jerome Pratt I'm sorry, Patrick, I forgot, I didn't take it down completely. The Elmer Jerome Pratt. Welcome.
Thank you, Bob Hameen. Thank you.
Come on in.
Thank you. You did good enough. Can you hear me, Hameen?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Thank you once again, Baba Hameen, for having us on. I just talked radio broadcast. I'm honored to be on again tonight, and I'm looking forward to a very robust conversation tonight.
I as well. Oftentimes, I've mentioned you in this regard as being like the tip of the spear. Our movements as African Americans in America, black folks in America, has been one to free ourselves from the stigma of being identified as less than human. And in my opinion, this is still an issue for us today. And there have been, I've shared with you off air, that last year or sometime a year or so back, a Michigan state legislature was attempting to take away local control from the local government, city councils, and the mayors alike, and take that power of self-governing away from the people and to bring it to the state legislature in a dominating type of control. We want to talk about that. We want to also talk about the gross atrocities, in my opinion, of white supremacy, of racism, as it's called, and those things that you have been struggling with and calling the people's attention to. And let's start there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, without doubt, Baba Hameen, you know, for those listeners who are not aware, again, I'm Brother Patrick Lumumba, the chief organizer facilitator of the Mississippi-based Black Liberation Movement, also the Southern Region Commander of the Elmer Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. And, you know, Baba Hameen, I think I'll prelude this conversation so that people can have a backdrop and understanding of what it is that we're going to be talking about and projecting from tonight.
Yeah,
I'm here in Mississippi, you know, first of all, you know, and Mississippi carries, you know, I travel the country, and, you know, when you tell somebody you're from Mississippi, you know, they almost gasp, you know, and you ask yourself, you know, what is that gasp? What is that gasp all about? You know, and, you know, I come to find that gasp is about, you know, the sentiment that Mississippi carries, the history that Mississippi carries, the overt racism that Mississippi exudes, you know, throughout its history. So when a black man, you know, travels the country, talks about, Baba, me, I'm sorry.
Daddy, no.
Yes. Okay, we're going to go. I'm talking with Baba Hameen and the family tonight. I have True Essence with me also tonight, so
Dad,
y'all have
I'm
to bear
go
with
in
me.
The kitchen.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Anyway,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, Baba Hameen, what we're saying is that we are experiencing a lot of overt racism. We have throughout the years experienced this historic racism. And right now we're dealing with an extreme influx of what we're calling hashtag killings by state-sponsored police, you know. And when we say state-sponsored, we mean that police officer is basically killing our children, and they're layered with protection, you know, that's given to them by our government, our state government, our federal government, also almost have what I see as a license to kill our children with impunity. So we're dealing with a strong influx of those killings taking place here in Mississippi, along with, you know, the heinous behavior an over, I guess you'd say, overkill of power that's taking place in the Mississippi State Legislature and almost reenacting Jim Crow-type laws to this day, dealing with front and center, and we can get more detail tonight as we continue the conversation.
Yes, and highlighting this conversation, I saw a YouTube video of a state police who had an African American, a black man in custody, and there were at least two brothers that were recording his behavior. And though it didn't show in the beginning of this presentation, it didn't show his beating on the man in custody who was in handcuffs. Those who were recording said that they had identified it. But I saw with my own eyes this state police struggling with the man in handcuffs and beating him, rolling with him down a hill, and as he rolled down, he was whipping this prisoner who was in his custody. He was whipping on him as the event was being recorded, and then he had the audacity to move towards those who were recording, threatening them. And with he either had his hand on the gun or he had the gun out, and he was threatening them for recording this brutality that he was administering, and it was savage. It was really savage.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Baba Kamal, I'm sorry, I called you Baba Kamal, Baba Hameen. You said it exactly right. You know, you said that he has the audacity. And that's a term that I have come to coin. It's called the audacity of white supremacy. You know, the audacity of white supremacy, and what has happened with, you know, these police officers is these slave patrollers, I call them, you know, these tech-paid race soldiers. They have emboldened themselves. Because the pathological and psychologically damaged police officer is out here, and they are backed by government protection. I mean, I don't know if our people, you know, and I'm one to feel like our people have lost our collective consciousness. We operate like rugged individuals. Like, we don't understand that this is happening to black people. You know, we more the mindset, it didn't happen to me. When you see your brother getting killed. This is happening to black people, and we have lost our collective consciousness. So, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, these things that are happening to us, you know, when I see these killings, and I'm seeing them front and center, I'm dealing with the mother of children that have been slain by, you know, these police, and the layers of legal protection that goes along with it. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at the sick pathology in the police and culture of America that has been ramped up on steroids, and they are operating with an audacity that is very dangerous to black people. And so when you see it, it's almost as though it's actually happening every day, but it's almost come normal, you know, to our people that's seeing them, all these videos and things on YouTube and social media outlets. It's almost become normal. It has become normal to us, you know, and when you start to normalize seeing yourself being killed with no consequences, you know, that you're in a very dangerous place. So we are in a very dangerous place, and in our job, you know, and I, specifically myself, is to try and wake our people up. Try and just make our people understand, Baba Hameen, what's taking place with us at this day and time.
Yes, sir. And I'm kind of a rubber meet the road kind of person. And, you know, sometimes you have to use shock treatment. I taught my daughters this, you know, that if they're being harassed, and, you know, you may be known as a person of modesty and clean language. But sometimes, sometimes you avoid insult on your person may be necessary for you to use profane language, you know? And sometimes we may have to find some shock treatment, you know, like you were saying. They don't see, you know, the people don't see or connect. There's a lack of empathy, I would say, because I was in a class earlier before this presentation, and we introduced this idea from a book dealing with the empathy and the lack and the origins of cruelty. And I'm not going to say any more about that. But the lack of empathy, the ability to connect, to connect in such a way where you feel a human connection with the person. And this is a problem with our folks, African Americans, in my opinion, and it certainly is a problem with these savage beasts like paddy roller or originated policing individuals.
Exactly. So, you know, Baba Hameen, we have this sick pathology, you know, that exists in the culture of police, you know, in America. So, you know, we're presently dealing with, you know, and I want to say this for the record and for people who are listening in, those who are listening in, to just go and look at these situations in detail. Hashtag Jaheim McMillan, hashtag Rasheem Carter. These are some very interesting situations to look into, because as we are dealing with these young men have recently lost their lives to police executions. These are executions. Just recently in the last few months, and nothing has changed. What black people need to look at is that nothing has changed for us. I mean, we talking about with Rasheem Carter, an execution, mutilation killing that took place, just as grotesque in its nature as Emmett Till. And when Emmett Till, that was for those who are familiar with the name but not necessarily the chronology of time when that event took place, was 1955, so badly beaten and brutalized. But today in 2023, you know, we have a Rasheem Carter whose body was found in Taylorsville, Mississippi in four pieces, you know. So what I'm saying is that the nature of racism, white supremacy, and its order has not changed for us. That has been a constant. And we need to look at that, because just because we 67, 68 years away from Rasheem Carter doesn't mean that we have progressed in that area. You know, we dealing with white supremacy, and like Neela Fuller said, if we do not understand racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works, then everything that we think we understand is only confusing us. So we have gotten to a point I'm thinking, Baba Kamal, that we're not looking at the machinery of white supremacy, the layers operates, and we have not been able to conjure a respectable response, you know, to it. On no levels, we haven't been able to, even our, amongst our educated, you know, our educated people, you know, our so-called professionals, you know, we have not been able to conjure up a respectable response that actually indicates that black people have a quality of life that we're willing to protect, that we're willing to, at all costs, protect. So that's that, you know, and that's what I'm finding, you know, and that's what's so frustrating, you know, to me, you know, doing what it is that we're doing in the most adverse situation, you know, it's frustrating to me that we can't get the so-called best of us to see this thing for what it really is and actually unify around it and actually get some things tangibly done. But I do see the well-oiled machinery of white supremacy continuing to evolve itself where it's able to operate almost as though it is normal. I was listening to a scholar the other day, part of the social fabric of, it's so much a part of the social fabric of America that is actually invisible.
Oh yeah, it's so ingrained. Like we both acknowledge the history of policing comes out of the paddy roller, the containing of black. Black former slaves were really during the slave time, and then coming out of slavery, they still had this, you know, this development that, you know, the blacks have to be kept in their place. You know, there's a specific
right.
order, there's a caste-like system, and the blacks have to know their place and stay in their place. And many
right.
of us, you know, many of us, Dr. Black History originator.
Carter G. Woodson.
Carter G. Woodson, thank you. My mind is racing because this issue has to be worked out among us in terms of what's necessary for us to have full authority over our lives, not be police, and what is going to take. But Dr. Carter G. Woodson talked about miseducation, and we study the origins of education for African Americans, for black people. We know that it was a harsh reality that education was kept away from us, and that with the threat of violence or the loss of life even. And then when we were permitted to learn, we were taught in such a way. I'll give you an example. A lady that I worked with, she's a state representative in Alabama. I worked with her. And she told me about, she was a shop steward for a union in the Veterans Hospital. And she was told by a Caucasian supervisor, because Miss Mary was having some problems in getting the attention of the African-American nurses. And the Caucasian supervisor told, well, Mary, you know they went to our schools. And that was just as plain, you know. They're the way they are because we taught them. That's what she was saying. We taught them. That's why you're having a problem
right.
reaching them.
Right. No doubt. And that makes all the sense in the world, Baba Kamal. I mean, I'm sorry, Baba Hameen. I keep calling you Baba Kamal. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We make
I've
all
been trying
the
to reach
the
out
world.
To him.
Right. I'm so used to him. You know, being a part of my conversation. And I have a mutual respect for you and him. So it's natural that his name probably would come out of my mouth in a conversation with you. But
thank you.
Yes, sir. You know, the education, the miseducation of the Negro, you know, is what capitulates us. You know, it causes us to surrender in places where we're supposed to be formidable. And I see it all over. I know in particular my state of Mississippi, because we have made it, you know, our duty, you know, to launch Mississippi on the move and to go throughout, you know, the predominantly black townships all throughout Mississippi. And Mississippi is littered with predominantly black townships. And what the thing is, most of these townships are led by these people you're talking about this educated Negro. And since we're talking about Carter G. Woodson, you know, and then sometimes I get him and W.E.B. Du Bois kind of mixed up because they express some of the same sentiments. So I may be misquoting Carter G. Woodson, but I'm quoting W.E.B. Du Bois when he talks about the higher up we went in this education, you know, that what this system that we call it education, the further we get away from our black. So that white lady had a very clear and very precise response to that educated black lady. She told her, she said, you know they went to our schools, right? So that means we have trained them. I think we need to really come to grips with that in this day and time, because we haven't figured this thing out yet. We haven't figured it out yet. I listen to black professionals, educated people all the time. And what I have found, Baba Hameen, is that they do not have the capability to deal with the audacity of white supremacy. They do not have it.
Well, I've seen different aspects of that. I had a real education when I moved to Birmingham from a little town in called Newnan, Georgia. And when I moved to Birmingham, I got a chance to see educational leaders in terms of the school system, the school board, majority black, city council, and black African-American mayor, the first in Birmingham's history. And we saw state representatives and even individuals, one of the four children that were murdered at the church, Mr. McNair, a highly respected individual, was sent to prison for corruption. One of the African American black state representatives. They found a bunch of money in his freezer, you know, and so on and so on. The mayor coming after the first mayor, African American, was sent to jail for corruption. And it just went on like that, you know. And they went to the churches. This is what really bothered me. They went to the churches and asked for our vote by quoting scripture, quoting the Holy Bible. And then when they got to our vote, they became one of my friends called a Negro manager of Caucasian.
Right.
Caucasian.
Yes, sir.
So it's an issue we have to confront. And what I found was we have been a part of a clinical experiment designed to cause dysfunction in the vital areas of our life. And because it was so harsh, we don't want to look at it. And if we don't look at it, these problems are going to persist.
Yes, sir.
In my
Without
opinion.
Doubt, I think that was a powerful assessment, Baba Hameen. Very, very powerful assessment. I see no lies detected, and it's something that we should look at critically. So, you know, because that's what we have. You know, we have a very, you know, and I don't mean to be harsh, you know, toward black professionalism, but what I do mean to be is clear about what it is that we're dealing with, you know, and that black professional class, they have done well for themselves, but not for black people. And I think I always try and reference, you know, those who have come before us when I'm stating some of these things that I'm saying. And what I mean is exactly what Marcus Garvey said. Marcus Garvey said that there is no black man or woman that's above the condition of his people.
Yes.
Let's say that again. He said there is no black man or woman that is above the condition of his people.
And well, look, let's probe that.
Yes, sir.
Before we probe that, Patrick, I need to take a break for public service announcement.
Yes, sir.
We'll be back with more of Not Just Talk. Our guest is Patrick Lumumba, Mississippi Black Liberation.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hamoun, and my guest this evening is Patrick Lumumba, Mississippi Black Liberation Movement, and the Elmer Jerome Pratt Gun Club. We're having this conversation, Brother Lumumba, and strategies are necessary. And it's not just these quote-unquote leaders, but, you know, I really feel like these individuals have lost their connection. They've lost their connection with our ethnic group, and they become rugged individualists that talk about, you know, us, you know, sometimes in glowing terms, but their actions are oftentimes actions that go against what we need in terms of real leadership.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, and you couched it perfectly when you said rugged individualists. You know, we have a lot of rugged individualists. And that's a very weak response to the team sport that's getting played against us of racism, white supremacy, and all its systems and constructs. That's a very weak response. It's a very weak way to compete in this type of society with racism, which is a team sport. You know, I think I was having a conversation just yesterday, and I was trying to make stand what I was saying about racism. And that was the best way that I could explain it to him, that racism is a team sport, and that I have never had one white person exercise racism against me. I never had one white person, I'm talking about one white individual, have the capability of exercising racism against me. Yeah, they may have a prejudice. They may have said some things that sound what we call racist, but they couldn't exercise racism. Racism is a team sport. So it's woven into the institutions of America. You know, I hear people all the time, that, you know, I have a lot of white friends, and, you know, they not racist. I'm like, oh, that's fine. But they don't have to be when the system is racist, when the social order is racist, and when the institutions are racist. What do you mean institutions? I mean the schools. I mean the jobs. You know, the politics. All of these things that goes into creating a society and what we call a nation. So black people are diametrically opposed on a daily basis. And to respond as rugged individualists is a very diffident approach. So you're right in the exact. And I wish we could come to a level of consciousness together as a black collective and understand this. And I know that we don't, because we would see it developing. We would see independent black school systems. You know, I think it was Amos Wilson that said education is designed to assure the survival of a people.
Yeah.
So what we think education for, you know, as rugged individuals, we think education is for getting a degree and getting a job and making $100,000 a year and having two car garage.
Yeah.
According to Amos Wilson, is designed to assure the survival of people.
Yeah.
So
well, look, let's invite
Let's invite some of the listeners into this conversation. 727, state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome.
Praise be to God, who is one and one alone, and Prophet Muhammad, the last prophet and messenger. And I'm thankful to Allah for AM360, how they have taken and evolved themselves into where they are now on the global stage and the global destiny that is for them as human beings.
Get a little closer to the phone, Bilal.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. So what I'd like to do, I just want to give something. I want Ramadan coming up, and I want to give some thanks to a person that had profound effect on the whole world, America, his community, people outside his association. And I want to just give something that he gave. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, our Creator, the merciful benefactor, the merciful Redeemer, who opened up all people a way to have a good conscience, and the way to have a good conscience and a good life, grant to this nation that Americans continue to live as a prosperous nation, many as one, and as a people taking pride in human decency, industry, and service. Let us pray that this great nation, 2 centuries of national life, may inspire other nations to move towards social and economic justice for all. Grant that her big heart, charity, compassion, repentance, and mercy continue to be strong within all of us. Grant that Americans always have more hope than troubles, and forever grow in goodness and in wisdom. best Americans to always cherish our freedom and the noble essence of the American people. Grant that we Americans better understand our brothers and sisters around the world and reject unsuitable national pride for a global community of brotherhood and peace. Bring all citizens and government together, those of great means and small means, to appreciate more our nation's solemn pledge of peace and justice for all. Bless the parents, our troubled youth, and our buried in the cities, to never be without hope and direction. Bless America to keep to the best of our ways. Bless America to cherish more the pride of industry. Bless the president and all other efforts in progress for more jobs, more opportunities, to be in the great society for more of us. Bless matrimony and families here and all around the world. Increase for the President of the United States, for every member of the Senate, and for every member of the House of Representatives, the excellence of man's spirit and the excellence of the intellect statesman, so that they may build a better America for all of us. I mean, this is the man Walter D. Muhammad, and this is something that he said 31 years ago in the floor of the U.S. Senate. And he was praying to his creator, our creator. So he knew who to call on for, and he made his life dedicated to what he said. And he was a man of pride and respect for what his creator gave him as a human being. We're other human beings. He took up the flag of America and said, look, if you don't support this, I will. He's a very, very wise man. And he had great followers. And let's go into Ramadan and keep our life on that mission and follow the leadership of Imam Walter D. Muhammad. And we'll listen to the different complaints of people, and we'll just give them something to help them along their way. But remember about faith. You have to deserve faith. Faith is not something that's just given to you. You have to deserve it. So for us and the membership of our association and people out of our association who love respect for humanity, go ahead on and take care of your business and go ahead on and be successful. But you call on your God, though. And don't get wrapped up in the schemes of the oppressors. And they have you jumping all the way around the world. You won't be able to take care of your own business because why are you too busy focused on the troubles they done put on you in your way? Take care of your business. Know what your business is. And take care of it. So praise be to God for a mind that Imam Muhammad had put in many of us. So, for my brother from Mississippi, I pray that God lighten your load. And, you know, we're here to help and work with you. So, we got a mission, and we're going to deal with it. You know, we thank God that you're on the program. All righty. Peace, everybody. Assalamu alaikum. And everybody have a good Ramadan. All right.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Yes, Pastor Patrick, I want the audience to know that you are my guest, a returning guest, because I want the audience to remember I and others that are listening in, many of you all were part of the Nation of Islam under Elijah Muhammad. And at that time, the focus or the identification of us, we were big brothers of the black nationalist movement. We called ourselves black. We introduced black when black wasn't popular, you know. Black wasn't popular when Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, introduced black, you know. It was something that you could get yourself heard over calling a fellow member of our group, you know. You could get yourself hurt real bad. But Patrick, I call him the head of the spear, so to speak, in Mississippi. We have a leader, though he is physically passed, the ideas that he left and the focuses that he left in terms of valuing and respecting sincere leadership among those in the Black Nationalist Movement. Minister Farrakhan has many among him that are sincere in that way. Also among those who are just in the streets. And he identified that they're going to wake up to the schemes of this devilish society, the elements of the devilish society that we live under, and that they're going to wake up to the point where their leadership, not directed by the church, not directed by the mosque, but their leadership is going to make problems for this world because they understand the underpinnings of this world, this society, that the ideas of race and color consciousness are artificial constructs, and these constructs will make you sick. They will make you psychotic, sociopathic, you know, the lacking of identifying yourself in the group called human beings. The behavior that I observed on that YouTube video and what Patrick Lumumba is describing to us is savage and inhuman. And this is the state that many among us of European origins, they've come to this idea of white nationalism. And, you know, I've heard them on the radio say, well, we need to break this thing all the way down. We need to tear this country down and build it up the way we want it to be. And the way what they're talking about is a caste system where we are worse than the Hebrew boys and girls of Egypt, because at least they knew who they were. They still had an identity, you know, a group identity. We don't even have that. So we appreciate your comments, and we want you to know that we appreciate Brother Patrick Lumumba, and we're going to bring in another guest, and then have Brother Patrick comment. Welcome, 3636. State your name and where you're calling from. Are you on mute? Is your phone muted? Is this Imam Hamid? Is your phone on mute? Your mic is open. Okay, we'll come back. Brother Patrick, would you care to comment on the...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Bob Hameen. I'd like to thank the brother.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, there he is, Patrick. Hold on. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was using some earbuds here. And,
yeah, I've been there.
Right. So, as I was saying, I extend the greetings, peace to everyone of Assalamu Alaikum. May peace be unto you. Praise be to Allah. And with that greeting, the Imam Wahid Muhammad has identified Muslims as peacemakers. We're not just obligated to keep the peace. We're obligated to create the peace, as our Prophet Muhammad did, in a country that was ran by gangsters. He created the peace. He had men and women with him that were willing to give their lives to improve the condition that they were living under.
That's right.
Patrick, you have a very honored name. I read the life of Patrice Lumumba, and he was definitely independent. He was not ruled by foreign powers. And the plans that he had for his country went counter to the plans that the United States had for their country. And a plot was hatched to have him killed. That's what they did, this government. So the reason that we are having a leadership problem, you know, you can ask someone their name, and they'll say, I'm Dr. so-and-so-and-so. I didn't answer your title. You have adopted that piece of paper as a part of you. When we introduce people, we go through a litany of alphabets. Sigma cum laude, PhD, and MA, and a BS in this, and a BS in that. And we look for leadership from those type of people. But true leadership, they cannot identify what's happening with the grassroots. Many times they're not from the grassroots. And if they are, they fear for their job if they speak out too much. But we need an independent. We need leaders that's right off that's right off the street. They have nothing to lose, and that will say the things that need to be said. My question is this: I want to ask this question. The police have rules when they can use deadly force. I want to ask, as citizens, to stop a crime, do we have the right to use deadly force? Be it a law enforcement officer or any citizen of this country. If he is committing a crime, especially a crime of assault, physical assault, a man is handcuffed and you are beating him, that's a crime. And citizens have a responsibility to stop crime. We have the right now to carry. We have the right to carry. I want to know from this governor or any civil servant, does the citizen have the right to use deadly force in stopping a crime such as murder or physical assault? I'll ask that. You won't get that from, I won't name names, but I'll ask that. Malcolm was successful in his understanding and being able to convey meaning is because Malcolm was from the grassroots. And Malcolm did not attend any of the establishment colleges. He educated himself. So he was able to speak directly to the cause of the problems we're having. Because he had lived them. He had his ear to the street. And he could win any debate on any prestigious college with any scholar and any professor, and he did. So that's why there's a lack of leadership, because there's no connection with the grassroots. They don't say the things that need to be said. They have been trained that there's a certain area that you don't enter into.
That's right.
I'll stop with that, my brother. Praise be to Allah. But I must say that there are leaders being groomed right at the grassroots level that will be of great advantage to us. I'll just say that. I'll stop right there.
Thank you.
Alaykum as-salam. Assalamu alaykum.
As-salamu
alaykum. Yeah. Alaykum as-salam. Patrick, your comment.
Yes, sir. That brother right there, that was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. And the way that he explained what effective leadership would look like today for black people. Effective leadership, that brother, I wish I had a pen and a paper to write it down. But that
well,
exactly.
I'm going down the, I didn't do it. I usually try to do it early on. But there is an archive that you can go to, and the recording will
yes,
be
sir.
Available to you. And I'll send you the link.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just using that term, you know, writing it down just to show the effectiveness to others that are listening and how
I follow.
Validate what the brother was saying. You know, most definitely I go back and listen again, but I know in my heart what that brother is saying is absolutely true. It was a thing that Mr.
Yes.
Farrakhan, I would hear him say often. He said, if the enemy loves your leaders, then they're no good for you. He said,
yes.
If the enemy loves your leaders, then they are no good for you. So, you know, Baba Hameen, that brother was beautifully factual and true. The grassroots of black people, what I call the spirit of black people, what's in the soul of black people, have to become the voice of leadership for black people. Not
yes.
the decorated, degreed, so-called educated black man. That black man has not led black people anywhere. Anywhere. So when we talking about the brother asked a question, too, I'd like to respond to. He said that if
Please.
A black man is beaten, or a human being is beaten or killed in these egregious ways that we have been witnessing, do we have the right to respond to that crime with deadly force? You know, and I'm going to go back to the situation with George Floyd. When the officer planted his knee and rested on the neck of George Floyd for 9 minutes. And as I watched that, I was enraged. I was enraged at watching Derek Chauvin rest his knee on the artery that ran through George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes. And I wanted to kill Derek Chauvin. It ain't no in between. I wanted to kill Derek Chauvin. Well, is something wrong with me? Or is something wrong with you for not having that same? We can argue that. But I'm telling you straight up, I wanted to kill Derek Chauvin. Now, was that legal for me to do that? Was it legal for me to have killed Derek Chauvin at that time? Well, according to the law of this land, it was not legal. But that does not make it unlawful. Legal doesn't mean lawful. Slavery was legal, but it was not lawful.
That's
we
true.
We have to follow divine and lawful order. Follow divine and lawful order. It ain't a school in America that would teach that I'm supposed to kill Derek Chauvin for that egregious murder that he committed on that day. So I stand as one, Baba Hameen, and to that brother that so beautifully crafted and laid that out for us, and the brother before, the Muslim brother that prayed. I stand as one that has maturated, and I did say maturated, meaning matured, from a civil, developing leader of the black liberation movement in Mississippi. Where did that come from? It didn't come from no school in America. The black liberation movement. Not moment, movement. That comes out of the belly of our ancestors. A response to white supremacy. That's what black liberation is. And we began to create agriculture development, growing our own food. We began to create independent black learning institutions, our Shea Academy, teaching our own children. We began to launch programs like Mississippi on the Move, which means going into black townships where we are already predominant, where we already control the government, and we trying to control the politics of that demographic, and we trying to civilize ourselves better. So I have matured from that even unto the area of military science. That's the gun club aspect. What do you mean, Lumumba? You tow guns around? I'm protecting myself. I'm protecting us. I'm protecting our people. Trying to get to is that it's a level of maturity and understanding the facets that go into the components that go into a mature people and what it takes to build a nation. Because I'm not one to think that we're going to go in and change the DNA of a white supremacist system. But I do believe that black people can step out of one and build a system of their own. You know, so those are the things that I'm grassroots level. I love my brothers.
Yes.
I love my beginning was in Islam. My conscious resurrection was in Islam. I was born and raised in the Baptist church. You know, so I have all those elements within me. And now I don't claim a religion, but I do claim my black. I do claim black nationalism. And I'm one that I can't say that I'm not a Muslim. I can't say that I'm not a Christian. I think that I'm all of those things. But at the end of the day, I'm a black man. And I understand the dimensions that face us, Baba Hameen. And I'm one that's willing to put it all on the line.
Well, with that,
we've got another caller,
but before we go to the call, we're going to take a public service announcement break, and we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Not Just Talk with your host, Michael Hameen, and our guest is Patrick Lumumba of the Mississippi Black Liberation Movement and the Elmer Jerome Pratt Gun Club. Stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain Information is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914 1-800-434-3475. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Serial Conference and AM 360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And we're back. We're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. And caller, we're going to get right to you. I just want to make a brief comment that in Scripture, the Holy Bible, classical Scripture, and the Holy Quran, both mention a picture of a strategy backed by God. And the picture is given of Gideon in the Holy Bible, where he had a large force that he was going against the enemy with. But God stopped him and told him, you know, he was going to test the troops at the water. And that test would limit the amount that the Creator would permit to go forward into battle, because, as it stated, the Creator knew the thinking of man, and that if the people would think the great numbers had a lot to do with the victory. And a similar presentation is given in the Holy Quran of Talut, I believe the name is. But my point is, we need a strategy, and we need, as a part of that focus, we need to see how valuable our unity is as a component of that strategy. We may have differences in terms of approaches and so forth, but if we identify the fact that freedom, liberation, is what we're after, we want to be able to live our life and live it in such a way that we can be productive and healthy and secure in our neighborhoods, we need to consider that. And we're going to go to our caller, 914-434. State your name and where you're calling from. Welcome. 914, are you on mute? Your mic is open. 914-434. Go ahead. Okay, we can't hear you. We're not hearing you. So what we're going to do is go to a return caller, Bilal Abdullah.
Hey, dude. I'm Bilal.
Welcome back.
So, you know, I listened to a program this morning, right, here in New Orleans. It's a local brother. And he tried to deal with a situation that people be in. So they had this young lady. She was like 13 years old, 14 years old. They had been smoking weed and in the sex or something like that. And her brother was there, and he's 20 years old, and he's trying to, you know, just tell her, because, look, you need to do this, you need to do that. And so the brother who was dealing with the show, he said, look, he said, she needs your support. She got raped. You know, so she said she got raped and she needs your support. She said she don't need you pointing the finger at her. And he said, so what he did, he said, look, he said, young lady, if you improve in your grades in school, she was on one of these social media. He said, you improve your grades in school, you come back and let me know. And he said, I'm gonna use my power to get you as a influencer on the social media. And he told her brother, he said, support her, listen to her. He said, pointing the finger is not what she wants for you. She's gonna keep on rebelling. He said, but learn how to support her. I like the power of love. Because when I do that, I feel better about what I'm doing, and I feel like God has a hold on me that I should have. If not, I get angry. If I'm talking irrational, acting crazy, and I lose my focus. And I think that's how Satan schemes are. He got us losing our focus. I mean, look, common sense. If somebody come to this house right now, and anything I have, he come here to hurt me, or hurt my family here, I'm going to put some pain on him, some serious pain on him. And if I cannot kill him, I'll try not to do that. And then I let the law handle what they have to handle. Let me tell you something. What's going on here is too big for us. That's why faith is so important. Faith and common sense and strategy. I'm going to say this, but I'm going to read this point very short. When that first brother got killed, I can't think of a young brother everywhere, but he was walking somewhere and this white boy came up there, shot him up, and thought he was trying to do something. And the police had to say, let me tell you what I was doing. I used to walk behind this strip mall and to get to the road that go to the street where I'm on, right? And I had already fixed it in my mind that if the police would stop and they would start talking crazy to me and I could see where they go on me, I had already made up my mind. I said, I'm going to try to grab one of them guns. And I said, I'm going to kill both of them. And I'm going to try my best to get away with it. But see, I had picked something in my mind when I went home and told my wife about it. And she told me, she said, why you think like that? And I thought about it. I said, "My, I got a protection that I want to have for my family, but I want to survive too as a person. But we have to be a strategy. And the best strategy to do, seriously, the best strategy, brother, is get with those servants who believe in God and he on the battlefield and he ready to take care of some business. Just get with them and do what you have to do. But let me tell you something. I get tired of every time something happens somewhere, the FBI knocking at my door, using my daughter to find out where I'm at. Because of what? Because I was in a Peace and Freedom Party way back in 1968, bringing it to the military. I'm getting letters from CIA and all them. They open my mail up and put gum on it and then send it to me. But I strategized. I got out the military after a year in 21 days. And believe me, I would have to say praise be to Allah that I fought them by using my mind and I used their political power. As a Muslim, I was in Chicago and I knew the effect that Islam had in Chicago. And I redid my appeal to them about my discharge, right? And I told them I was a Muslim. And Imam Muhammad was my leader, and I wasn't about that. And I found out it was real late, about 30 years later, I found out that they had actually turned the discharge over, and I didn't even know nothing about it. But I fought. I fought a good battle by forming with my mind. And I called on God to protect me every step of the way. It's a little poem I wrote, and I'm gonna get off. Satan, scheme, or the oppressor schemes are weak. Struggle and get what we need for our global destiny. Sincerity brings prosperity, empowering the people so they can get what they need. Poverty, our souls must be free. What happened to us in America has made us special. Obedience to God to keep us thinking and acting professional. With the power of choice to avoid the negative,
consequences of what? A bad decision. The Quran is a correction, narration, and the best communication. You know, this Ramadan coming. I'm going to pray for you, brother, and your organization, and I hope that Allah would bring you and some of y'all come on the fold and let's work this thing out and see like we all can come be prosperous without having to murder people or get murdered or put out people in a bad situation. Okay, so you know, so inshallah, you know, I want you to keep on, you know, be with Michael and y'all get the group come as a group come on the radio. Y'all become part of AM360 CWSC family. Have your group thing and let's go ahead and talk about it. Let's have a conversation. A conversation of love, peace, and intelligence.
Thank you.
You know, I'm getting that. That's right. Thank y'all very much. And assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak to people when they come.
Alaikum assalam and Ramadan Mubarak to you. Brother Patrick, I'm gonna ask you to respond. But before you do, our scripture says oppression is worse than slaughter. And that suggests the kind of thing that took place with Nat Turner and many others, you know, that the taking of life, particularly by one who was being is suggested here that this is approved by Almighty God. And you know, there's another place that says that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. So, you know, strategically, if it's necessary to give up your life when you're under savage and brutal circumstances, you know, God knows best in terms of what the outcome is going to be. But again, our unity is very important, and us being strategic is very important. I've seen many of our men protesting very emotionally about being harassed by the police. I've seen a number of those kinds of presentations on the internet. But the thing of it is, under certain circumstances, you need to remember how this policing was originated and structured. And things have changed somewhat. We still live in a society where harassment and even the taking of life is something that many of these government representatives think is acceptable. At least to them, it's acceptable. So the focus is: do you think it'd be better to go to court and rally with those of like minds after that confrontation to seek out justice? Or do you think, you know, you have to take other steps? You know, that's for the individual to decide. But the oppression is there, and it's more so in certain places like Mississippi than it is in others. But the oppression overall is there. The taking of the rights of a local government to govern itself is something that is being tested not only in Mississippi but in other places. So I'm going to stop there. And Brother Patrick, your comment.
Yes, sir, Baba Hameen, and I thank you again for allowing me to comment. Because I'm listening and absorbing, and I'm, you know, the points are well taken. And I'm grateful that my maturity has allowed me to be able to ingest and absorb what my brothers and sisters have to say that may not, you know, run succinct with the action that I think I have, you know, matured. I will say again, matured into. And sometimes I think, you know, one that I did announce earlier, coming from a very religious background.
Yes.
Being raised in the church and being inspired by Islam, which I think is one of the most beautiful religions on the face of the earth, if not the most beautiful. But I have to admit that in a lot of cases, most cases, we allow our religion to overshadow our reality. And
I understand.
I'm asking for help, you know, from Universal Order to help me explain, because I really need my people to hear what it is that I'm saying at this moment. We allow our religion to overshadow our reality. We have to understand what we are actually dealing with. And I think Universal Order will have it that certain ones of us will be challenged on the highest level. And certain ones of us will be able to see more transparently what it is that we're dealing with. I believe within the black man, he has the right to permutate his religion. I'm going to say that again. I said that the black man has the right to permutate his religion. That means adjust it for the betterment and conduciveness of his own life. I'm making an example. Everything in the Christian tenet, and I'm one that understands it very well. I don't need a scholar of Christianity to tell me what Christianity is all about. I do. I know. I grew up with it. And it suggested that to me, regardless of what your enemy does to you, you're supposed to love him. Not only that, you're supposed to pray for him. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Love your enemy. Now, my reality would suggest that me doing that would not be common sense. Okay? I want y'all to hear me. It would not be common sense or conducive for my survival. Now, I'm dealing with a young man named Jaheim McMillan that was 15 years old, I'm sorry. He was a year older than Emmett Till. That was shot in his head point blank range by a white man. Taxpayed. Shot him in his head. First shot, kill shot. He shot 8 more times into an occupied public building.
Yes.
That's a pathological killer. Now, I know this young man's mother. Her name is Katrina Mateen. And I watch her cry. She traveled with me all the way to Colorado. And I listened to her cry in her tent at night. Why does she have to bear so much pain with no recourse for justice? Where is the religion that suggests that this woman has to live out the rest of her days with no justice? Black people the only somebody that has to abide by this? See, this is what I'm talking about a permutation of our indoctrination and reaching a level of maturity that suggests that why do you abide by things that are diametrically opposed to you? You have to stay locked within the confines of that. You have to subdue. I heard the brother. He felt a certain way until he went told his wife that, you know, I feel like that if one of these police approach me, I'm going to snatch his gun and I'm going to kill all of them. Why do you feel like that, brother? Because you're trying to right a wrong that has entered our reality. You're trying to do it by yourself. So you go and you tell somebody you love, like your wife, feel the way that you feel. So you say, oh, I was wrong. I was wrong. Who said you were wrong?
What make you wrong? For trying to right a wrong that has entered our universe as a pattern. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. So now this thing has gotten way out of hand. Who corrects it? Who corrects it? So what I'm saying, I'm not suggesting violence, and I'm thankful for my organization, Elmo Geronimo Pratt, because this is our motto and mission statement. We don't practice violence, but we do practice self-defense. And if black people today cannot protect themselves in a culture that we are immersed, and we it's okay to kill black people. The highest law in the land said it is okay. I'm talking about this land that the first brothers that come on. I'm not against him. Was praying for this land that we pray for the well-being of, has made it okay to kill black people. They have whole laws called qualified immunity that protect these killers.
That's true.
What is the response, Baba Hameen, and to the brothers that call it? What is the response? I need a religion, Baba Hameen, that suggests that it's okay for me to protect my life by any means necessary.
I understand. And we've come to the end of the time. We're in grace period time right now. But I was thinking that Fred Hampton was targeted because the COINTEL program of J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, you would think he was, you know, a government man, a secular man, but he developed COINTELPRO based on scripture. They were looking for a unifying figure that would unite blacks, African Americans, people of color. They were basing it on scripture, time of Moses, where they were killing off the Hebrew boys, based on scripture, where Jesus was being sought out before he reached maturity, because they were looking for a Messiah figure. Now here's a government official developing a program to stop what I mentioned earlier, to stop the unification, because they saw as more powerful strategy, more powerful than guns and bullets.
Yes, sir.
Although Fred Hampton, they had within their strategy the right to self-protection and the right to bear arms, you know, against those who would try to destroy and disrupt their community life and efforts. But I'm saying,
yes,
you know, true religion does not make you helpless in the sense of turning the other cheek or giving the man pieces of your clothing when he's trying to take your clothing anyway. You're willing to give up your clothing. These are elements within Holy Scripture itself designed to cause dysfunction in the vital areas of our life, self-preservation.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, we need to be introspective. We need to look within. If we are among those that are prayerful, we need to pray and ask for understanding and strategies on how to best proceed. Because we understand wives and mothers don't want to lose their husbands. We understand that. I've experienced similar feelings that our brother Bilal expressed about taking life, but it was the taking life of a black man who had raped my daughter.
Yes, sir.
And then later found out when we went to court that he had raped his stepdaughter. So he was a horrendous offender in that regard. And he, if he's still alive, he's still doing time. But, I mean, we have to be introspective. We have to think in terms of how we deal with these issues that confront us. And
yes, sir.
Every tub got to stand on its own bottom, according to what the word says. You know, we have to. Unification is very important. But we all going to have individual trials coming to us to test us, you know. And so, in conclusion, Brother Patrick, there's some things we didn't get to, and we're going to have to get you back that we wanted to talk about. But if you'll give us any kind of website or phone number that you care to share in terms of getting in contact with you, and also your concluding remarks.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you again, Baba. I mean, once again, I enjoyed myself. We had a very thorough and robust conversation, as we always do. Even our, you know, off-the-air conversations are very fulfilling for me, and I'm grateful to have you as a Baba of mine. For anybody that's interested in
the
Black
Tell them what Baba means, Patrick.
Baba means,
Baba means
teacher, and Baba also means father. So that's what I consider you, Baba. I mean, a teacher and a father. Thank you very much for being that to me. Sir, no doubt. We are the Mississippi Black Liberation Movement. We function in the areas of civic development and building systems of power for Black people. You can contact us. You can donate to us, $BLMMS. We also operate Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. We are an organization that stands in the gap and stands on the forefront of social injustice exercised against our people. We don't protest. We demonstrate. We are proud people, Black people, that adhere to the Second Amendment. We have the right to bear arms. We have the right to protect ourselves, the quality of our life, our families, and our community. And you can also join the Elmer Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. I'll have to get you that website, Baba Hameen. Usually when we're doing this, I have a secretary on that's able to corroborate all this information. So forgive me for not being able to do that. But you will be able to find us if you look us up, Google Elmer Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. So with that being said,
question.
I know we're out of time. Bob, yes,
no,
yes,
wait,
sir.
Wait. Not quite. Give us the $ address again or sign.
Yes, first of all, Black Liberation Movement, Cash App is $BLMMS. That's $BLMMS, Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi. And Elmer Geronimo Pratt is $EPG. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. $BLMM. What was the last letter?
S. BLMMS.
S as in Samuel?
S in snake. S as in Samuel. Yes.
Okay, got it. Mississippi, okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir. Black Liberation
All right.
Movement, Mississippi. Yes, sir.
Mississippi,
yes,
M S. I got it. Got it. And the Elmer Pratt?
Yes, sir. Elmer Geronimo Pratt. Yeah, that's $EG. No, I'm sorry, EPG Gun Club.
EPG? PG?
Yes, sir. Gun Club.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I like for everybody to look that up, too, Baba Hameen, because one thing that I'm noticing
when we go to these press conferences and when we go to these public events, and I make it my business to make sure that I announce what we are when I'm talking about the gun club. An amazing thing that happens that I think people should take note of: mothers are always approaching about their sons who they know have guns, who they know are out here in these streets with guns, but they want these young men to have order and to have a cause. So they always soliciting us about how can we get our sons involved with the Elmer Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. So
that's
a thing that we are working on doing. We're working on getting with our street organizations, getting with our young men, and giving them a reason to have those guns. Giving them order, giving them structure, and giving them discipline. Just like what your military had done and weaponized them for their cause.
That's something that we failed. The Creator brought in young men with a spirit of fearlessness, but they didn't have, and they called themselves soldiers in these so-called gangs. They called themselves soldiers with the blue rags and the red rags, but we failed in not giving them the kind of discipline, suggesting to them a kind of discipline. So they turn on one another, you know, with the lack of discipline, you know. But listen, we had an individual. I'm going to ask him to press one again because I didn't want to neglect him. Press one again. I think this was Muhammad. If you'll press one again, I don't see you. I don't see you. Got a number of folks on the. Okay, he may have just signed off altogether. But we really appreciate and value your coming on. And again, I'm going to take a quote from I can't think of the poet's name, but this quote is used quite a bit by the radio personality Karen Hunter and Dr. Greg Carr of Africana Studies at Howard University. They oftentimes ask the question. They ask the question, well, how does this free us, you know? And that's something that we need to look at in terms of us going forward. How do we get full liberation? How do we get full liberation, full freedom from the conditioning that we've gone through that has caused us to be dysfunctional in our social life and in relationships? So we're going to have you back on again. We really didn't complete the conversation that we wanted to have, but I appreciate you and I thank you. And I ask the audience to join us next week. We're going to make, as we do, a supplication, calling upon the Creator. Lord Creator, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you grant us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you. And those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Thank you, dear people. Join us again. Where am I? Yes. Join us again next week for more of Not Just Talk on AM36.org. Thank you again. Peace be with you. Peace and blessings.